Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to help you get ready for NFL Week 17 action is Rohit Panea. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Row. Rohit, great to have you back on the show.
Always good to be here, Rob.
So before we get into the games, how has this betting year treated you?
You know what? It's actually been good. I know there was a lot of big question marks with the COVID situation and a lot of unknowns with teams not having to prepare as much for certain weeks. But you know what? It's been pretty solid. You've had some good teams that have been kind of consistently at the top there in terms of covering spreads. You have other teams that are just doing a great job of hitting those overs. You have teams that are in some ways coming out of nowhere, but are kind of was predictable, like the Buffalo Bills. A lot of people were pegging them as the preseason AFC East favorites, and you know, they pull through, and people that kind of analyzed that from the start and realized that was going to happen, they made some money. And on the other side of the coin, you know, people that realize that teams like the Lions, the Chargers, teams like that are always going to lose you certain bets, have just been kind of cashing in on that side too. It's been good.
One of the things that I've enjoyed in doing this podcast is getting called a homer, because I am from Pittsburgh and my wife is from Buffalo. So those were two teams that I identified of, wow, Steelers keep on rolling. And how about them Buffalo Bills? Because for the longest time, remember, the narrative on Josh Allen was not Buffalo Bills all-time completion percentage in a single season, Josh Allen. He has matured into that. And they were a very easy team to fade as recent as a few weeks ago. Think about the matchup against the 49ers. Oh, big Monday Night Football matchup. Here comes the big bad 49ers. This is when Buffalo finally falls down. And then it's just week after week after week. And when I look at the Bills, it comes down to two things for me: coaching and culture. Sean McDermott has done such a good job of building that culture that I believed in this team, because I believed in the stability of what he is doing. Of course, I don't know if anyone could have seen the maturation that has happened this fast with Josh Allen, but boy, that Stephon Diggs trade went from, oh, Stephon Diggs is a nothing, to say hello to the league leader in receptions and yards.
Yeah, their chemistry is unreal for a tandem that just started hooking up this year. So it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, so let's do a quick recap of our week 16 picks. Went 1-2 on the week, but a little asterisk on that because it should not have been that way. Our one victory was on the Panthers. We identified that very easily because we like betting the Panthers when they're underdogs. I was on the Jags, but as we mentioned on the show, last week we recorded on Tuesday. You know what the problem was, Rohit? I was on the Jags until I find out that Mike Glennon's a quarterback. There is a 0% chance that I will ever bet on Mike Glennon as a bet. But guess what? I was locked into the Jags at +7.5. And then there on the ESPN ticker goes, Jags starting Mike Glennon. And I was like, ugh. So I'm actually curious to hear from you. In that instance, do you then try and get on the other side and eat the juice? Because that's what I was trying to figure out what to do, because Mike Glennon to me is a no starter. Gardner Minshew, boom, he keeps the back door open. Mike Glennon, no thank you. I didn't do anything and I lost the bet, but what do you do in that instance?
Yeah, if I saw that sort of thing happen, I definitely kind of flipped my wager in a hot second like that. Yeah, I mean, there's a huge, huge gap in talent, arm talent, you know, like, everything when you go down from someone like Minshew to Glennon. And while the books are adjusting for that, it's still just not worth it. It's not worth it to eat it with someone that's not an NFL caliber starting quarterback. And that's, you know, that's a huge, huge, huge gap. And I'm, you know, I don't think Gardner Minshew is the greatest, but he certainly can win you games. And I'm really not, I don't feel the same way about Glennon for sure.
And it is certainly a lesson that moving forward, I will be getting out of bets. And then our other loss, speaking of not being able to get out of bets, the Cleveland Browns, our Big Mick Bet of the Week lost, because on Saturday, all of a sudden, the Browns lose their entire receiving core. Well, guess who had already locked in 2 days prior? The Browns in a 4 or 5 team money line parlay. Me. Even worse, I had the Browns as my survivor pick. So I made it all the way to week 16 and flew from Chicago to Florida. Well, guess what is not in Florida? DraftKings, where my survivor pick is there. So I was locked in to the Browns with no escapability. So I took another L on that and leave it to me to lose on the Browns for what would be the second time in 3 years.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm in the same boat, and I actually lost my survivor pool the previous week with the Rams. So yeah, the fact that the Jets are just deciding to win now is mind-boggling, but it's actually something that's going to come up a little bit later when I discuss some of my strategies for Week 17.
So let's actually start with that now. So looking at Week 17, we're recording this on Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, and there's lines that are all over the place. There's some lines or games that aren't even out because of injuries. I mean, we're looking at Cardinals, Rams. Who in the world is going to be playing quarterback there? We've got teams from Pittsburgh to Buffalo to Tampa. How long are the starters going to play? Are starters playing? So there's a lot of uncertainty across the board, which can be both an opportunity and a big detriment, because if all of a sudden we start putting one of our picks down right now and we find out, oh, they're sitting all the offensive line, you're like, oh crap. So what is your mindset coming into week 17?
Well, the big one for me is just to be cautious. You can see that the books are being cautious. A lot of them aren't putting out lines yet. They're staggering their lines. They're kind of waiting to see what happens before they bet. And as a bettor, you can, you know, wait a little bit longer too. Keep your ears to the Twitter world, hear what's going on, try to get a good feel for what's going to happen from a team. The other thing too is that some of these teams that have kind of already clinched, they've done it before. I mean, these are the Chiefs we're talking about here. You can go back, you can see how how Andy Reid has done things in the past. Has he taken his players out? Has he decided to, you know what, I'm going to play some of my starters because I don't want them to get rusty? And you can actually see that. You can see that last year. You can see that with the Steelers going back to 2017. And there's quite a few of those teams that are kind of in that position. So you can kind of use those previous years as a gauge to see kind of what's going on. But in general, if you're just kind of unsure about any particular lines, in particular, that Cardinals game is one I'm thinking of. I almost jumped on it right away as soon as I saw Goff's out, Cooper Kupp's injured, two of their running backs are out. I'm like, well, you know, that's great. That's great for the Cards. Then you see that Kyler Murray's still on the fence. So, I mean, you know, take advantage of that. Don't bet something that you're not 100% sure of for the most part. Try to get a feel for the game. Try to get an understanding of what's going on before you bet those lines. But if you do want to kind of try to gauge what teams are going to do and the approach they're going to have, using some of those coaches, the Tomlins, the Reeds, and finding out what they've done in the past when their teams have kind of secured those playoff positions, that's a great way to kind of use it as a barometer.
So as a caveat, we will let everybody know what we see as of Wednesday morning. But if things change later on in the week, don't take what we say as gospel, because all of a sudden Mike Glennon might be starting for a team and you're like, well, crap, I'm no longer interested in that. So let's start with our get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week. And for me, there's a lot of things that we could have done to be uncomfortable. I'm going to give this an uncomfortable rating of a Dalvin Cook, just a 33. I'm going to take the Vikings laying 6.5 on the road, taking on the Lions. And the reason I'm uncomfortable about this is because the Vikings have been an absolute dumpster fire for bettors for the back half of the season. And it was oftentimes contrarian to the narrative that was happening in the media of, here comes the Vikings, they're starting to win games. But you know what they were not doing? They were not covering games. They were down to the wire. And we watched them fade. They had so many opportunities to prove to us that they were a playoff team. The game against the Bears, just so many opportunities. But this for me is a bet against the Lions. And I had DeAndre Swift on my fantasy team in a championship matchup. So boom, it's Tampa, Detroit, and I'm all ready. I'm like, all right, Swift's going to blow up. Well, guess what? Matthew Stafford gets injured. Chase Daniels comes in, and he was atrocious, just absolutely terrible. So for me, this is a bet against the Lions. Why do I feel uncomfortable? Because I don't trust the Vikings one bit, because the narrative of this Vikings team – would be they would find a way to get backdoor covered against the Lions. Nonetheless, I believe the Vikings should be the better side here. I'm laying less than a touchdown on the road. Don't feel 100 about it, but give me the Vikings laying 6.5.
Yeah, you know what? I like it. And truth be told, I'm a Lions fan. I'm suffering Lions fan. But fading the Lions, you know, that it works. They are not a good team. The only time I've bet on them in the last 2 months was that game against Chicago, which they did pull off. And in general, there's certain teams that they just get up for, certain teams they don't. Motivation has been, you know, a large driving factor in their losses recently. And they're just at that stage of the year where they just kind of, they pack it in. You saw that in the first half against the Bucs last week. And on paper, Vikings far more talented. If Stafford's out for the Lions, and I think he should be, he's the sort of quarterback that'll tough it out. But honestly, at this stage in the year, just shut it down. And, you know, they've got tons of injuries on both sides of the ball too. Galladay, I think, still out. Like hasn't been a great year. And this is the, you know, the perfect time of the year for us to just roll over. So I think fading the Lions, even at home, it's not a big deal.
And what about you? Do you have an uncomfortable bet of the week?
I do. And you know what, like over at Covers, we have our Covers consensus where we kind of get an idea of where public bettors are kind of going the most with their bets. And one of the big ones is the Titans at home against the Jaguars, who we were just talking about. 14-point favorites, big favorites, coming off that, sorry, not the Titans, the Colts. The Colts at home against the Jaguars, coming off that loss. And you know what? On paper, sure, the Colts should blow out the Jaguars. But, you know, games aren't played on paper. And I think one thing that teams are really underestimating, or sorry, bettors are really underestimating this year, people are kind of putting too much stock into motivation. And you saw that the last 2 weeks with the Jets. There's this idea that the Jets have nothing to play for. These guys are still professionals. They're still going to play. You saw that they won 2 games in a row, you know, took themselves right out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Now the Jags are pretty much, you know, they're assured of getting Trevor Lawrence. So why not play their hearts out? You know, they're a scrappy bunch. They've got a young team. And, you know, 14 points is a lot for a team like the Colts that has been primarily winning with defense this year. Add in the fact that these guys are rivals and the Jaguars are 9-2-1 ATS in the last 12 games against the Colts. Like these guys have their number. They've won 8 of the last 11 games straight up. And, you know, the Jags, except for 1 year with Leonard Fournette a few years ago when he was beasting, they haven't been good the last 5 years, but they always seem to come to play against the Colts. So, you know, I would be very, very nervous about taking those 14 points with the Colts.
Would you be willing to wait to see if you can get above 14?
I think that would be the perfect number. 2 touchdowns is the number that I would definitely jump on for sure.
Would you consider live betting this, knowing that there's a good chance that the Colts could score first and you might be able to get 17?
Yeah, you know what? Like, that's always a great strategy as well. And, you know, live betting also makes these games more fun. You know, regardless of the fact that I'm much more happy about, you know, taking the Jaguars at, you know, plus 14 or plus 17. I think they're going to lose this game and probably in not, you know, not good fashion. But, you know, you live bet these guys, they can fall down early. And then all of a sudden you've got a little incentive to watch this game. And yeah, you get even more than touchdown, like 2 touchdowns. I take that in a heartbeat because I don't think the Colts have the firepower to really just like put it on them, you know, to score 30, 40 points plus. I don't really know if that's going to happen.
I love where your head is at here because it is one of the games where you do not expect anybody to be on the Jags. And why should we feel so warm and fuzzy about Phillip Rivers and the Colts, a team coming off just a terrible loss right there? They've been good, but likely a little bit overrated throughout this year. So I like where your head is at. So now let's get to pick a loser.
Oh, what a loser.
And our goal in this bet is to identify a losing bet. We're going to think differently about this. And for me, I'm going back to the well for 3 straight weeks. Give me the Saints -6.5 on the road, taking on the Panthers as my losing bet of the week. This is strictly a play on the Panthers as underdogs. We said it 2 weeks ago when the Panthers were 6-3 against the spread as dogs. So I'm guessing updated would make that 8-3 against the spread as dogs. They're at home. Boom. Give me the Panthers to win that game. So therefore the Saints -6.5 are my losing bet of the week.
That's a good one. I like that. I'm actually going to briefly touch on that one a little bit later, actually, but my losing bet of the week, that's the Bears. I think a lot of people are going to kind of, you know, look at the Packers and say, of course they should win this game against the Bears. But at the same time, on the other side, you look at Trubisky, and Trubisky's actually been playing pretty well the last few weeks. Here's the thing. I've seen way too much of Trubisky to know where this is going. I don't trust them. It's January. Aaron Rodgers, time to shine. The Packers are, you know, they just been on fire lately. And frankly, I'm not 100% convinced in the Bears defense right now. Their defense came out strong at the beginning of the year, but it hasn't looked that great recently. And with the Adams-Rodgers connection in full swing, Packers trying to get wrap up that number one seed, I see them covering on the road.
There are few things in life as uncomfortable as betting on the Bears to cover versus the Packers. As someone who lives in Chicago, I remember, I think it was week 17 a few years ago, Bears-Packers, and I don't remember if it was for the division or for a playoff spot, and it all came down to like a fourth down play where Aaron Rodgers throws like a 50-yard bomb for a touchdown for the win, cover, and the playoff spot. It's just been tough for the Bears. I tried to fade the Bears last week, taking the Jags, because there is just some sort of regression that we expect from Mitch. Do we expect that he's going to continue to be what he is? And or the Packers are really humming right now. And it's something that, what do you feel more comfortable about, Mitch or MVP Aaron Rodgers? So for me, I completely see where you're coming at here. I think I would want to see it with my eyes first in terms of live betting. Hey, do the Bears get up 7-0 where you're like, all right, maybe this is something. But if the Bears get down 7-0 and then all of a sudden go 3-out, you're like, rot-row.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is I think you can kind of get a pretty like early feel for whether or not Trubisky is on or not. And you watch a couple drives and you will know if Trubisky is the Trubisky of old or if he's going to flash on any particular day. So I think live betting is definitely a good idea when it comes to the Bears and streaky quarterbacks like Mitchell.
Let's get to our Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week.
I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
The goal of this bet is just to produce a winning bet. And I actually had a challenge putting this together because I don't have a lot of faith in a lot of the favorites for a lot of the reasons we talked about: injuries, uncertainty for how long the starters are going to play, motivation factor. But nonetheless, I've got a 5-team Moneyline parlay that plays +132. So give me the Colts taking on the Jaguars, Alabama to defeat Notre Dame. Give me the Ravens taking on the Bengals. Give me the Titans taking on Houston, and give me the Vikings taking on the Lions. And quite frankly, I did not want to include the Vikings or the Titans. The challenge was the other teams that I included in this, their spreads are so big. I had to start juicing it up just to get it to a +132, because do I trust the Titans? Not exactly. I can see an opportunity where the Texans keep it close. Deshaun Watson says, you know what, let's end this year with a bang. I do expect a heavy dose of Derrick Henry in that game, and I do believe that they will win, albeit don't feel comfortable about it. And then I already talked about the Vikings. The Vikings could lose that game for all that I know, but I'm hoping that they don't. So the back end is where I'm a little bit shaky on this. I thought about a team like Buffalo, but there's a part of me that says, at some point in the second half, could the starters get rested, knowing that Pittsburgh is likely to be resting starters? Does Buffalo already have that two spot? So motivation and how long the teams are going to be playing, I at least know that the Titans are going 100 in that game, and I at least know that the Vikings are playing the Lions.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with actually one of my three picks. I've got the Titans, I've got the Saints, so we'll get back to that Panthers bet we were talking about earlier. And I've got the Ravens. Those are that's my three team money line parlay. I'm paying out at plus 101 over at SIA. And yes, kind of the same thing. I'm, you know, Titans, they run the ball. Texans, one of the worst teams defending against the run in the league. You know exactly what the Titans are going to do. You line up, you try to stop the run. Texans can't do it. I don't see them winning that game. You mentioned the Panthers. Panthers have done a great job of covering the spread, but they haven't been winning. Only two wins in their last 11 games. And, you know, the Saints do sort of need this. And I could definitely, definitely pulling, I could see them winning quite handily, to be honest. I think the Saints are 8-2 straight up in their last 10 games. So kind of taking that whole spread out of the equation, just saying, I think the Saints will beat the Panthers. I think I'm a little bit more comfortable with that for sure. And then finally, Ravens Bengals. And that is, you know, the Bengals have won two in a row. And I think we can all agree we were cheering for them against Pittsburgh the other night. But they're just not a good team. They're not a good team on either side of the ball. Losing Burrow really hurts. The Ravens still can't pass, but they can run much better on defense. 13 points is a lot of points to swallow right now, especially with weather conditions kind of could be a little bit messy over in Cincinnati. But I think taking the Ravens just to win outright and get into the playoffs, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Remember, the Ravens are a team that historically dominates crappy teams. It is more when they elevate to the elite teams that Lamar Jackson has seemed to struggle. So, Rohit, before we move over to the college football side of things, were there any other games on the docket that caught your eye or that you have thoughts on? I know in the NFC East, we've got two matchups there where everything's pretty tight. We got Cowboys laying 3 on the road, taking on the Giants. Washington laying 2 on the road, taking on Philly. Those teams have been so uncertain and disappointing all season that while they're high profile games, I wouldn't be surprised at the outcome of anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that's kind of up in the air. And I think that makes week 17 always so tricky. The big thing for me, I think going into the Pittsburgh Cleveland game is just exactly what, you know, what is going to happen with Pittsburgh and who they're going to play. Of course, we know Roethlisberger is not going to be there, and that's very helpful to know. But who else? There's a lot of key guys on defense there, the Fitzpatricks, the TJ Watts. And are they going to start? Or if they do start, how long will they play? Because right now that line has shifted to 10. And you know what? It's tough to trust Cleveland with a huge margin like that. These are guys, you know, they barely beat the Jaguars. You look at a lot of their wins recently and they, you know, they squeeze out victories, but not by a lot of points. And they've crumbled under pressure recently. I mean, you don't have to look any further back than last week to see that. So, I mean, it's kind of tough taking them with 10 points in a tough rivalry game like that. One thing I do like about that game, of course, is Myles Garrett. You got a little bit of might get a little bit of payback. He gets to face off against Mason Rudolph again. And you know what? We might have kind of forgotten it because Helmetgate kind of took over that game. But the Browns easily beat the Steelers last year with Rudolph when they were when Rudolph was playing quarterback. And so I think if the Steelers kind of, you know, pull some of their starters back, don't play guys in the second half, etc., I think you could see the Browns get that. But 10 points is just, you know, I just don't trust Cleveland enough for that.
Yeah, because the Browns couldn't even properly execute a fourth down QB sneak for their entire playoff lives last week against the Jets. So I'm with you. It's more how much do you trust the Browns to take care of business? That I don't see it as a Pittsburgh side of things, because the formula is the Browns just need to play winning football, run the ball a ton, don't turn the ball over. But if all of a sudden they start turning the ball over, a pick six happens or a return touchdown, that's where they get into trouble. So that's what they really need to prove, is that they can take care of business when they need to take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now I just don't have a whole lot of faith in it. You know, I think they're a solid team. They proved that, but I just need to see them, you know, be able to put the boots to someone when they need a big win. And I have yet to see that this year.
The last game that's sort of on my mind, looking at Seattle laying 5.5 on the road, taking on the 49ers. The 49ers have George Kittle back. He's already talked about how he likes the role of spoiler. There's no real spoiler role here, but there's still a competitive level. I do like Kyle Shanahan as a coach. As an organization, I do believe in the 49ers. I believe they're prideful, and this is the type of game where they want to win. And how big is the motivation for the Seahawks in this game? For me, I'm likely going to be getting the 5.5 points with the 49ers.
Yeah, you know, I like that too. And one of the things that I think, you know, people kind of get into these narratives. That's the thing about a 16-game season, 17 weeks. You kind of get into these narratives early on in the year. And then when things kind of switch near the end of the year, sometimes your mind doesn't kind of switch alongside of it. And one of them has been this idea of the Seahawks as this offensive, you know, powerhouse. And you saw that through the first half of the season, they were just unstoppable in offense. But you look at the last few weeks and, you know, they've been okay. But nothing great. You know, Russell Wilson hasn't been looking like the, you know, the MVP favorite he was for most of the year. Metcalf has come down to earth a little bit. On the other side of the ball, the 49ers, you know, shredded by injuries on both sides, you know, defense and offense. But their defense has actually played fairly well. They're among the best teams in the league at yards allowed. They've shut down most of the teams they faced in the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. The one exception was the Cowboys. But the thing is, the Cowboys only had like 250 yards of offense. They scored almost all of their points off turnovers. So the 49ers defense, they're legit. And 49ers legit defense, you've got the Seahawks offense that's not, you know, quite as great as they were. I could definitely see, you know, I could definitely like the Niners as 5.5 point pups there.
You want to see something crazy? Open up Tyler Lockett's fantasy points for this season. He had a game in a loss against Arizona where he put up 60 fantasy points. He had 20 targets in the game. Why is this of note? Because Tyler Lockett goes from greatest receiver in football to two-thirds of the year, he completely disappears. I have no idea what in the world goes on with that Seahawks offense, because you're right. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett were, wow, this is an incredible receiving core. And then you look at the back half of the season and you're like, I'm not really that impressed by Seattle.
And as long as that, like, that offensive line is still one of the worst in the league. And until that really gets fixed up, they're going to have some problems against teams that can bring a pass rush. And the Niners, they bring pass rush from different positions. They're, you know, as great as they were last year when they had Bosa and D Ford coming off the edge, they have a lot of guys and they can, you know, they can push the pocket, and, you know, that creates problems.
So let's jump over to some college football action real quick. And let's start with the Rose Bowl. Alabama laying 19.5, taking on Notre Dame. Total on this one, 65.5. And Alabama has been a cover machine. They're just steamrolling left and right. And there is no comfortability on either side of Alabama when you're saying, do you want to lay 20 or do you want to get 20? Either way, at some point in the first half, they're going to be up by 20. So how lucky are you feeling? Yeah. For me on this one, I'm already in on the over 65.5. I would much rather say let's root for points than try and figure out how a team is going to stay with Alabama or if Alabama is going to blow a team out.
For me, I think the big bet here is the first half. You know, you see Alabama just get out to some ridiculous starts. 20 points is, of course, a lot to swallow, but they've covered as 20-point favorites, I think, 7 or 8 times this year, which is just insanity. But, you know, the big thing is that Notre Dame, I think they proved it in the ACC championship game, is they just don't have that fire. They didn't have the firepower to keep up with Clemson. They did the first game against Clemson, didn't in the championship game. They do not have the firepower to keep up with Alabama, especially with Bama's defense, which is the best they faced all year. But the big thing for me, I think, is getting that first half, because, you know, 20 points is a lot. I think it's a lot more manageable to bet Alabama on the first half spread, 10.5 points. I love that. They've covered the first half spread in 7 straight games, and those have been some massive spreads. They average almost 30 points per game in the first half. There are 70 schools across the country who average fewer points over the entire game than Alabama averages in the first half. And on defense, they're phenomenal too. Before Florida and Georgia, only teams that really did anything against Alabama. And before the Florida game, they had allowed, I think, 23 points in the first half in their previous 5 games. They're just awesome. They come out to these great starts and then they just kind of get it, keep it rolling. But I definitely like them on that first half spread for sure.
I am sold. I will be joining you on Alabama first half. And from a betting standpoint, it is not going to be comfortable for people to be on Notre Dame. Certainly there is air quotes value there, but based on what we just saw with them coming off that Clemson loss and a history in these big games of getting blown out, it's not going to be easy. And for me, I want to enjoy my new year. I don't want to roll in being like, wow, I was the guy who bet against Alabama on a New Year's Day game and they won by 150.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I mean, there's been some question marks about Notre Dame all year. We thought they answered them that first game against Clemson, but then they just popped right up again. And just overall, they just don't have the firepower to hang with Alabama for sure. Like, I like Book, but, you know, I'm sorry. He doesn't have the weapons. They just can't keep pace.
All right, and let's get to the Sugar Bowl. Curious line here. Clemson laying 7.5, taking on Ohio State over under 67. And Dabo Sweeney ranking Ohio State number 11. Oh, so good for the newspapers right there. And we know what Clemson is. They were supposed to be the 1A to 1B to Alabama throughout this year. They've got Trevor Lawrence. We know when they are at their peak, they are amazing with Travis Etienne. Ohio State, the narrative I'm hearing from them is this isn't as good of an Ohio State team as we've seen in years past. But at the same time, giving more than a touchdown just sort of makes you think twice about it. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm in the same boat. I'm strongly on the Buckeyes here. I think people are underestimating them a little bit. Their pass defense hasn't been great this year. And I think that's one thing people are really kind of honing in on because, you know, you've got Trevor Lawrence, you've got him flinging the ball there. And, you know, pass defense is something that Ohio State historically has always been great at. And I don't actually think it's their secondary. I think their secondary hasn't been quite as bad. It's their pass rush isn't quite the level it was last year when they had Chase Young. I think overall, I think teams are really underestimating Ohio State, especially on offense. You know, when they played against Northwestern, people were a bit disappointed that first half performance. They struggled a little bit, but they didn't have Chris Olave. When they do have Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, they've got a couple of great speedsters on the outside. They've got a couple of great running backs. Saw Trey Sermon just rip off, setting records there. And they've got a lot of firepower. They can keep pace with Clemson. And I think you saw that Clemson's first game against Notre Dame, where if you want to, you know, you want to take on Clemson or you want to take on Alabama, you want to take on those two kind of powerhouses in college football right now, you need to be able to keep pace with those offenses. And I think Ohio State can certainly do that. I think they've got tons of weapons. I think they definitely want a little bit of revenge after last season when, you know, they had a few bad calls against them. But yeah, I mean, I think this Ohio State team is just, you know, they're talented to be spotting them 7.5 points in a game of this magnitude.
Given a total of 67, I will be live betting this game because I can very easily see a 14-point swing one way or another. So I do believe opportunities will present itself for this game. Rohit, always enjoy jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Best way to get at me is on Twitter, covers_RO.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 17 card? Do you have a pick, a loser, uncomfortable bet, or Big Mick Moneyline Parlay? Or how are you getting down for those college football playoff games? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And we've got another NFL year in the books. We'll still be getting down for the playoffs. But I just want to thank everybody who got down with us this year. It was a profitable year. It was a fun year. We made it through, and I'm so thankful for everyone who interacts with us, who is subscribed, rated, and reviewed on iTunes. You give us some love, we will show you some love back. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The broken leg devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.